Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Derin Arik from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Let us start our day in our program with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church. And as you know, we will continue praying with St. Narses the Gracious. Surp Nerses Shnorhali with his prayer, Havadov Hostovanim, in faith, I confess. Astvadzim, Vorpanasis Tseresko, Yevlunus Zamenan Araradus Vogormutyamkov, Kez Hansen Arnem Zansnim, Tu hokayev badrastia azbedes hokvoyev marbnoi mohaisem hedeminchev havidian yev vogormia kararadzots yev ints bazmameris. You who bring back those who have gone astray, turn me away from my evil habits to good habits, and imprint upon my soul the dreadful day of death, the fear of hell, and the love of heaven, so that I may repent from my sins and do righteousness. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am. Ամահության աղբյուր, աբաշխարության արցունքներ հոսեցուր սրդես, ինչպես բորնեգին սրդեն հոսեցուցիր, որբես այս աշխարհեն տեր չելած, լվամ իմ մեղքերս, և ողորմե քո արարածներուդ, և ինձի բազմամեղիս, ամեն. I am joined again by Mr. Veh Bizdikyan, a member of St. Sarkis Armenian Church. Veh, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Derin Arik. It's an honor to be here as always.
Thank you very much. Veh, I know that you and a group of our young adults are presenting this Friday. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the presentation this week.
Sure. Did you want to talk a little bit about last Friday, what happened with the weather?
Absolutely. We had to cancel last Friday. It was a difficult decision for me, and I had to send that email around noontime, and I felt very bad that the members of the youth club who had worked so hard for their presentation, unfortunately, they didn't have a chance to present. I hope that we will find some other time for them to come and present. And we're looking forward for this week's presentation, which will be the last presentation and the last Vesper service for our Lenten season.
We're going to be reflecting on the genocide once again, considering it's the 100th anniversary and it's always timely for us in our commemoration. But this time it's going to be the young adults of the community, young adults of the church, and people that will have an opportunity to express themselves and talk about both their past reflections, present, how the genocide impacts them in their daily lives, and what their thoughts are about the future, both for the community and for themselves.
Very good. Veh, why don't you tell us about the presenters?
We're excited to have a group that's a cross-section of our community, and we're taking a page from the Armenian Religious Education Council series, which was sponsored at St. Illuminator's Church during the Lenten seminars this year. We will be hosting some of the same people who presented there, as well as some others who will have an opportunity to reflect upon their perspectives.
We started the series here with a book presentation by Dr. Hrant Markaryan, and it was purely dedicated to the 100th anniversary of the genocide. And I'm happy to report that we're going to end the series with another great presentation dedicated to the centennial.
And if I could add one thing, I think what's special about this week, we have had young adults participating in the previous seminars, but this week you're going to have an opportunity to hear from those voices that rarely get the opportunity to share what their views are about whatever the salient issues are of the day. I think it'll be a unique opportunity for our parishioners and for the community to come out and listen, ask questions, engage them in some dialogue, and maybe walk away taking something from the exchange.
So I take this opportunity to invite my listeners to make every effort to be present here this Friday evening to pray for last time for this season, the Vespers of the Armenian Church, and also to enjoy the presentations which will be following the Vespers. Despite the bad weather last Friday, we had a great family worship on Saturday morning. So family worship has a different format now. We are doing it once a month on a Saturday where the students of Saturday school, along with their parents, are coming to church right before we end the program of the Saturday school. We are singing the hymns together, saying the prayers together, and I had the opportunity to engage the kids while I gave a short homily. So our next family worship will take place on the Saturday before Easter, where the kids will come and take the Holy Communion, and the family worship will be followed by the Easter breakfast, which is every year sponsored by the PTA of Saturday School.
Father Nareg, this Sunday is going to be Palm Sunday. What is the significance of Palm Sunday? I know as a child and since then, I've often attended church on Palm Sunday. And of course, we get the palm leaves and we weave them into crosses as a tradition. But there's some deep meaning to Christ's arrival into Jerusalem. I think it might be worth discussing for a few minutes about the meaning behind Palm Sunday and the reason why we continue to celebrate the tradition.
Palm Sunday is a very important religious celebration in the liturgical calendar of not only the Armenian church, but every church, because on Palm Sunday we mark the glorious entry of our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, where he was welcomed as a king. But as you asked, why this was an important event. Now, when we read the Gospels, and especially the Gospel of Luke, we will see that the whole ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was a journey that took him to Jerusalem. It was almost like a pilgrimage that Jesus was taking, and he was taking with him his disciples, his friends, and they were all going on this pilgrimage. The only difference was that Jesus was going to offer himself as a sacrifice. So therefore, Palm Sunday for us is actually the beginning of our salvation, where the events of the Holy Week took place right after that. Jesus was welcomed as a king, and rightfully, he was the king. But then a couple days later, he was betrayed, he was crucified, and he shed his blood for us. So his arrival of Jerusalem signifies that the beginning of our salvation. Now, as you said, there are great traditions related to Palm Sunday. So what were some of the traditions that you enjoyed as a kid, Ve?
From what I remember, palm leaves, special services, there's always a fellowship that follows with family and friends. It didn't have a significant, like serious religious significance to me, and that's why I was asking the question. But it may be that others would have a different perspective on that.
For me, when I was growing up, my parents and everybody basically in the town of Kesup used to say that Palm Sunday is the feast of the kids. I remember we would always get new outfits for Palm Sunday. We will be dressed at our best and go to church, holding the candles. The procession was something that we looked forward every year to go around the church with the priest and the entire congregation holding the candles, holding palm branches and olive branches. It felt very special. It felt as if we were part of the original procession which Jesus had when he entered the holy city of Jerusalem. When I grew up and when I went to the seminary, there was a very unique tradition where every year on Palm Sunday, Archbishop Ardavast Terterian would celebrate the Mass. And we're related. Mm-hmm. I would make every effort to try to be on the altar when I was a regular seminarian to hold a candle or to do kishots. When I became a sargavak, to serve on the altar, read the gospel. It felt very unique to be near Ardavast Sarpazan, and it's something that is very close to my heart. I cherish every day. And here at St. Sarkis, again, I love the procession where kids come to church. We have the tradition of the candles. They hold the candles. We go out for procession, and we always make sure to stop by the main door of the church to take a photo. As a matter of fact, if you receive the Shoragat, the cover photo was from Palm Sunday procession of last year.
How is the procession different from Palm Sunday, since we're talking about tradition, between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday when we do the procession when we come out?
We don't do procession on Easter Sunday. What we do at St. Sarkis Church at the end of Badarak is Antastan, which is the service of blessing the four corners of the earth and asking God to protect us and to protect the fields, to protect the Christians. So that is a service that we do. But on Palm Sunday, it's just a procession, a reenactment of what Jesus did along with his disciples and his followers. My guest today is Professor Margaret Tilelian Kirkostas, who is the executive director and curator of the Anthropology Museum of the People of New York. Marge, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I'm a daughter of immigrants from Anatolia. I don't like to use Turkey. I like to use the word Anatolia.
And I agree.
And my mother came from Nida, and it was about 3:30 in the afternoon, 1915, and they came, and the Turkish neighbors came and said, leave, the gendarmes are coming, they're going to take you away. So she said they left with the wagon and the donkey and 5-6 other relatives. And they traveled for 9 months through Derzort. So I met my husband. I was 18. I got married when I was 19. Then I had my three children. By the time I was 25, I had my three children. And I got my master's and graduate work done at NYU. And then I used to give papers in different cities. And I met Margaret Mead. And I said to her, you know, there are no ethnic museums. It's all ancient Rome, ancient Greece. I said, we should have a museum that, services the contemporary ethnic groups in the city. She says, I'll help you. And she did. And she died 2 years later.
So tell us more about the museum.
Okay. Well, we started it in 1979. We had professors from Harvard, NYU, Queens College. Actually, it was the staff, about four or five of the staff from Queens College that were very helpful, and we used to use the offices there to have meetings. And we created a folding exhibit, which we still have, and we used to put it into banks, hospitals, libraries, and leave it there for a month to introduce people to anthropology. But in 2003, we made an arrangement with President Myskins at the time. They gave us space, a casino hall, two rooms. They're small, but one room is anthropology and the other is Armenian, all Armenian. And the Armenian section, the whole thing was, we raised the money through the Armenian community. And we had thought when we made the agreement that we were going to give the $30,000 to the college to allow us to have the space. And he ended up saying, use it to fix the space up, and that's what we did. And
that's so nice of them.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Can you tell us what is on exhibition in the Armenian section?
Yes, when you walk in, we have a priest's vestments that were given to me by Yeretzkin Butero. It belonged to Father Michael Butero. And he made the whole thing himself, she told me, you know, the metal, everything. So we have that. Then we have a section on the hierarchy of the apostles from Jesus all the way down to Thaddeus and Bartholomew coming to Armenia. We put this exhibit on at Ellis Island in 1997 to 98. It was there for 6 months, and it was censored by the State Department.
Why?
Because the Turks objected to the words massacre and genocide. Mm-hmm. And Peter Vallone, he came on his boat like a charging knight. He says, you open that up, I'll take responsibility for it.
He did.
And he did. We opened it up. And we go back to 9,000 BC with the petroglyphs. I do lectures for pre-K also, and I teach them about the human condition and so forth. And they are so smart. And when you show them the petroglyphs, they have the most fantastic interpretations.
In the Armenian section, there is also a wall dedicated to the genocide.
Yes, a whole wall to the 1915 Armenian genocide. And we have interviews that I did with some of the residents of the Armenian home back then. It was 1980s. And we have some of the clips there. And we have General Antranik, his wedding in Paris when he got married. And we have stories, little stories of what went on. And we also have a wall that says the genocide beast. And we have lists of other genocides that have taken place since the 1800s.
I've been to your museum, and I have enjoyed being there. So as the executive director and curator, can you tell us about some of the events that are taking place in at the museum?
We have concerts, classical, we have dancing and people singing, and we try to get young people, not necessarily Armenian, but from Queens College or NYU or whatever, we sort of look around to see who would like to perform. And we had William Saroyan, his play, his stage play, we gave it. And we also made the film, Hello Out There. It's a 23-minute film that was never done before. In fact, we're going to do a William Saroyan festival in November because we partner with the Museum of the Moving Image, which we did the Mamoulian festival this past November, which was very successful. And then we have the movie 40 Days of Musada, which I think we should be showing it now.
We had a showing here at St. Sarkis Church.
That's great. And then we have lectures, panel discussions, unveiling of the Middle East.
Marge, as a director of the museum and also as a person who knows so much about our heritage and our history, what is your message today to our listeners?
I would like them to learn Armenian because I think that is the essence of what keeps us together. But I think not only the language, but also a lot of the traditions that have come down to us. And I think the church is the most important thing that keeps the Armenians together. So I think that that's important. And I don't want the liturgy in English. Because if I go to Paris, I could go to the Armenian church, and it's a familiar sound. I go to Java, it's a church, familiar sound. So and we don't have to know. You just go there. It's a nice, relaxing place, and you don't have to think. You could just listen to the nice music and the sounds of the Armenian music.
And we need to emphasize that.
Yes.
Professor Margit Tulalian Kirkostas, thank you very much for your time. This was a lovely interview, and may God bless you. Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast.
Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to those bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord.
The Word of God. This is a very powerful reading that comes to us from the book of Ezekiel from the Old Testament. Veh, I'm sure that you have a lot of questions.
I have quite a few questions today, Dan Nodding. It is a somewhat dark reading, and I just wanted to get, I guess, some general interpretation regarding what it means for this resurrection of the people of Israel and why it's portrayed in such a somber way.
Ezekiel is the prophet who writes from Babylon. The people of Israel are taken into captivity. In the book of Ezekiel, we find something very interesting. God appears to the prophet Ezekiel along the side of the river of Chebar, where he sees visions of God. This is very unique because before this, the understanding of the people of the Old Testament of God was that if you wanted to worship God, you had to go to Jerusalem. You had to worship God in the temple. But now, when the temple was destroyed and the people were taken away from Jerusalem, Ezekiel sees God to be with them in a place where they were really hopeless. And the dry bones represent what they were like in the land of captivity, how they felt away from their motherland, how hopeless, how desperate they were. And in this reading, we see a great message of hope, where God shows his power, saying that if God chooses, God can give life to dead, dry bones.
Is there something that we as Christians can take away as a deeper meaning, possibly as it relates to the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. This is one of the readings that we have in our church, in the Armenian church, on the eve of Easter during the scripture readings. Because in this reading, we see, first of all, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also through Jesus, the resurrection of everyone who believes in Jesus. So therefore, this message did not only belong to the past, this was not intended to give hope to the people who were in captivity, but this is a message that gives hope to everyone who believes in God through Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan based his Easter message on this specific reading because he wanted to address the Armenian genocide and the fact that God is with us and God, through God's help, we will be resurrected. And the dry bones, which if you look at it, the bones of their Zor, the bones of the victims of the Armenian genocide, will come to life again through the generations who survived and those who are doing a great job maintaining their Armenian Christian identity. Today's hymn is called Vor Ver Ortnis. This is the hymn that we sing during Palm Sunday celebrations, and we will sing it during the procession this Sunday. I hope that you will enjoy listening to this hymn. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to thank our sponsor. I'd like to thank my producer, Greg Dostur, and I'd like to thank everyone who is listening to the podcast. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Oh, no, just now.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.